This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is your old air conditioner running all the time but not cooling your home? Stop wasting energy and money. Call Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, Electric today for a complete AC cleaning and tune-up. And we'll include absolutely free, a one-year, no-breakdown guarantee, all for just $89.95. That's right. We guarantee your AC will cool your home for an entire year or your money back. Call 866-4-SEASONS.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
Chicago, the grudge matches on the gridirons might be gone, but get ready to hit the ball and touch them all at your local Chevy dealer, where you'll find the real MVPs of SUVs. If you're thinking about rounding third and heading for home in a new Chevy, you're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to take the next step and batter up. Need the power and durability of a Silverado? The all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer? The spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban? Or the sporty city-friendly Trax? Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to win the game like a pro. So don't wait. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate the nearest dealer, and start shopping online. Things are warming up out there, and you need a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Chevy, together, let's drive.
We have Florio. That's producing right there by many.
That's Menigan. Good. Dan knows how to use his fingers, dial a phone.
That's really good.
I bet he didn't even do that. I bet he just sent one of those newly fangled text messages.
We'll be heading out to Berea. Select Browns players and select head coach will be speaking in Berea. We will hear those here coming up in the noon hour, maybe beyond. Chris Rose is going to join us today. Michael Lee, Washington Post NBA writer, who wrote a real terrific piece on Darius Garland and some of the things going on that Darius has overcome that you might not really know. Michael joining us in the 1 o'clock hour. I'm Jeff Phelps, my partner to my left today. We're sitting in a conference room. Andy Baskin. We're talking Guardians right now. Nobody cares. I'm just telling you.
Nobody cares.
Sorry. What? Can we not just like talk and have conversation?
No. This is conversation. This is called real world conversation.
We've been talking Guardians.
I'm honest with you, and you don't listen to me.
They've won 5 straight games. Steven Vogt made a switch in the batting order. Jose Ramirez dropping out of 2. They haven't lost since. Jose hitting third. It was Lane Thomas hitting second for 1 game. Then Nolan Jones for the last 4, and he's hitting .333 over that stretch. Maybe Vogt found something. He was aggressive last night.
I'm surprised you haven't done your Nolan Jones victory dance lately.
Well, he's hitting under .200. Not much to celebrate yet. Roger is in Richmond Heights. Hi, Roger.
Raj.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's going
on,
man?
Couldn't be finer.
Well, I just wondered if the Yankees are using the torpedo bats because they seem to be handling
Judge.
They seem to be handling Judge pretty well. Are the Indians using the torpedo bats?
No, we're using anti-torpedo baseballs only when we have them.
That whole narrative kind of died down, Roger, because after the Yankees beat up that Brewers pitching staff early on, the Yankees went into a slump. So apparently torpedo bats can go into a slump as well.
So they are using the torpedo bats, but do the Guardians use them?
I know that somebody, was it Stephen Kwan?
Stephen Kwan was using a torpedo bat.
He was using one in batting practice, I know. Guys are always going to look for an edge, Roger, so I'm sure that there are some torpedo bats floating around the Guardians locker room, and I'll be real honest. I don't really pay a whole lot of attention to the shape of the bat because the torpedo bat thing, in my estimation, died down very quickly.
Well, why does the commissioner allow such teams?
Why?
To
they're standard barrel. They're within the specifications.
Yeah, it's a legal bat.
Yeah.
Oh, well, okay. I just wondered, it doesn't seem like they're the same unbeatable Yankees team.
Well, and right? Can I – let me – and Roger, thank you. Let
they're
me
still,
quote Dan Menigan.
First place?
Let me quote Dan Menigan.
Yeah,
have you seen the Brewers pitching staff? That's when all the buzz happened about the Torpedo Bats, and Dan kept saying, yeah, because the Brewers pitching staff stinks.
It's gotten better.
So maybe it was a combination of the two during that series. Might have been. Jeff is in Strongsville. Hi, Jeff.
Good morning, gentlemen. One of the previous callers before the break was talking about the fans in Pittsburgh. The only reason it was the way it was when Skeens was pitching, and I don't know if you guys hit on this, because I do know people that went to that game was because they had a bobblehead. So to compare Cleveland fans to
No one was comparing Cleveland fans. That's not the point of the story was. It was about starters and openers. It had nothing – like, I didn't sit here and say, oh, Cleveland fans and Pittsburgh fans are – but no, it's about creating a buzz and sell – hang on, let me finish. It's about selling tickets because fans get engaged with a starting pitcher. They're like, I've got to go see this guy pitch. That's all. It had nothing to do with the cities.
Yeah, but I think the caller was comparing Cleveland fans and Pittsburgh fans. We don't chant at Guardians games, sell the team – right? Were there the fans that do go, while might not be as many for that specific game, still cheer on the Guardians. And I would like to take it a step further. This Guardians team reminds me a lot of the Cavs as well. You've got a relatively young head coach. You've got somebody that, or a new coach, I would say, to the team.
Yeah.
You've got some superstars. You've got some young players that are stepping up. And this Guardians team is scrappy like it always is. You know, we're never going to be the team that spends a ton of money like the Yankees, but guess who we're beating? Guess who we've just taken two from? Why do we as Cleveland fans always have to look and project out? Let's live in the here and now. The Cavs are playing very well. They're in the playoffs. Guardians.
I can appreciate what you're saying right now. It had nothing to do with the premise of that. There was a caller? There wasn't a caller.
I think it was you, Andy.
It was me, and I never once compared – Pittsburgh fans, the Cleveland fans, my point was about having starters and having, you know, it's about selling tickets. It's about being engaged in the game. It's about marketing the players. It's about wanting to go to the ballpark to watch a starter because there's a buzz in the ballpark. That's what the whole premise was. Not once did I compare Pittsburgh fans to Cleveland fans or bobblehead giveaways. We have bobblehead giveaways all the time, too. The point of the matter is you want to be able to be locked in with a player and say, that's my guy. Wow, look at this. We got a guy who's throwing every fifth day. I mean, Jose Ramirez is a reason to go to the ballpark every night too, but it's not, you know, the marketing aspect of it, it's a major league whiff by Major League Baseball. It's not just the Guardians do everything they can, but this had nothing to do with Pittsburgh versus Cleveland. I'm just on the record for that.
And I didn't take it as you stating that. I thought that the caller was equating that to Guardians fans and saying that we're not doing something that we should be. And you're right. Major League Baseball has a problem with marketing their games. 100% agree. And it's sad because a lot of youth today, they don't see themselves in a lot of these players that they technically and really should be, because a lot of these players are approachable, like Stephen Kwan. I mean, Stephen Kwan is probably one of the most likable players in all of sports, not just baseball, but all of sports. And he's not. Major League Baseball does nothing to promote him. You know, Ramirez is the same thing, but Stephen Kwan is so likable because he's such a hardworking guy that we love him. But outside of Cleveland, most people don't know him, and that's a good point.
That's a really good point,
Jeff.
I agree with you on
thank you for the phone call. Jeff. Appreciate that. Guardians in first place, 1-10 today. They will try for the sweep. Sweep.
Hey Dan, are we a little too excited about two wins over the Yankees during the regular season?
I wouldn't say we're even excited about it. They're just playing good baseball.
No, but just the last couple of calls. Like, is this do you think that there's a feeling here that, oh man, we're beating up on the Yankees? It's April, kids. It's April.
Yeah. You know? And by the way, there's nothing wrong with getting excited for beating up on the Yankees. Everybody should be excited about beating up.
And
on the Yankees.
Beating up is probably not the right word.
Should be one of the goals. They've been good.
1-2.
Yeah, they've been good games.
Every team should want to beat the Yankees. That's what all the fan base wants. And every fan wants.
And ultimately, they're one of the teams that you would think you might have to go through to get to the World Series.
I think.
Plus, Jeff and I are big AB fans. We're big Aaron Boone fans. Huge, gigantic.
I think the big thing that comes with it, I mean, of course, you know, anytime that the Evil Empire rolls in, it's fun to take down the Evil Empire and show that whatever you're doing is working and all that kind of stuff. Like, yeah, it's a big deal. It should be a big deal. It's fun for fans, but it's one of 162 on top of it. And some games mean a little bit more. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean,
that's what makes it fun.
Emotion comes into this.
And maybe part of the problem with it is that Aaron Boone gave me like four or five concussions when he was playing for the then Indians by hitting me in the head in each and every game.
I
became his good luck piece. He would come out of the dugout. I'd be sitting in a silly little chair right in front of the dugout, and he would whack me in the head, much like I've wanted to do to Phelps like six times during the show today. Right?
Yeah, which is certainly not a surprise, is it?
Knock, knock, knock.
No.
Yeah.
Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk is going to join us coming up in, 9 minutes?
There you go.
And we're going to get to that in a second. Jeff, is this the same Jeff in Strongsville? I don't, Jeff, this isn't the same Jeff in Strongsville, is it?
No, this is Jim.
Oh, hi, Jim. Hey, Jim, how are you?
What's up, man?
Says Jeff on the screen.
Before I get to my call, guys, really you're bringing this guy back on. I'm not even going to go into it. Get ready for 15 minutes of Haslam ripping, Browns hating.
Florio?
Oh, my God.
Dude, we like you. We bring you back all the time, too. Florio is probably one of the most respected guys in the game. Whether you like him or not, he's respected.
The next time he – am I wrong or am I right? Next time he says something nice about the Browns, we'll be the first.
You're wrong. He said good things about the Browns along the way. There have been – I'm like – Mike Lombardi would crush the team every once in a while. There are other people. Who's our buddy from Baltimore?
Lock Amphora.
Lock Amphora ripped the you-know-what out of the team.
He's going to rip on Haslam. He's going to say Haslam's meddling. I mean, I can already predict the interview. But anyways.
You're right. Let's have everybody on to hold two brown and orange flags and wave them violently while they talk to us.
Dude, Dan, I don't mind criticism, and I don't mind, but I did. But if you think Florio's giving you, like, quote unquote, middle of the road, that dude is. I just don't know how you can say he's not jaded at the Browns and Haslam. I mean, he is.
Because we've had people who are very jaded at the Browns and Haslam, and he is nowhere near there. He is giving you information. I mean, Florio says some stuff every once in a while that makes you go, "Wow, I can't believe he just said that." But not nearly as much as some of the other guests we've had.
Jim, you better get to your point. We've got about a minute.
You got 1 minute. Six minutes.
Real quick, I had heard the last caller about the marketing, and I don't know if it's because the Guardians are on MLB Network or not that I've seen it. Look, they're marketing the kid in Cincinnati. They're marketing the kid in Baltimore. They're marketing Skeens. They're marketing these young players. I've seen it more this year. As a matter of fact, I made a mental note the other day that, like, I can't believe how much they're pushing these young stars and the way that they're going about doing it.
Yeah.
Now, again, I don't know if it's because they're on MLB Network, and I get it that these three guys are on the cover of their, you know, flagship video game, but they're doing a good job. I mean, it's the personalities, and that's what they're actually finally, for the first time that I can remember doing.
Yeah, I took the conversation in the wrong direction. The bigger point was, Dan will bring this up too, because statistically it sounds like they might be pushing back in the other direction. It's about having starters that you want to go see pitch at the ballpark, really, that's what it comes back to. That's all.
You hit the
nail on the head with Skeens. You were right on Skeens, 100%.
Yeah, it's the personalities, guys. Like, I get it. We all love Jose, and he's a great ball player. But it's these other guys have a little flair to them. They've got that, and that's the key. And I think they're doing a good job of showing that.
Our guys are too nice.
Jim, thank you, buddy.
We need a little bit, as I was listening to that, we need a little more Paul O'Neill in the world.
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. What will the Browns do it to? What's Florio hearing? Trade possibility? Maybe? Let's find out. Florio's next on Basket.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
To Phelps. Well, when we're looking for insight, we go to the guy who joins us right now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline from Pro Football Talk. He is Mr. Mike Florio. Mike, good to have you with us.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
We are well. What are you hearing rumblings? Anything cooking with the Browns at 2? There was some talk. They're certainly fielding phone calls. That's their job. Are any of those phone calls anything more than, hey, how you doing?
Well, Andrew Berry made it clear last week that they are willing to talk, that all options are on the table, that they hadn't committed to using the second overall pick. And I've said for weeks now that it's in the Browns' best interest to consider the possibility of turning that one big lottery ticket that they have at number 2 into multiple lottery tickets, because that becomes multiple players who are under very affordable rookie contracts that will help counterbalance the cap numbers that they're dealing with Deshaun Watson and, in time, Myles Garrett. They had the opportunity to not trade for Deshaun Watson and keep 3 first-round draft picks plus. They had the opportunity to trade Myles Garrett and get multiple picks in return, and they didn't. Now is the chance, if they decide it's the right move to make, to move out of number 2. And ask. Here's what you have to ask yourself. Is the guy that we take at number 2 going to make us dramatically better? And if you think the answer is no, and you look at the haul that you could get, and you have confidence you could parlay those picks into players who collectively will make you dramatically better, then it's worth considering. So I think it makes sense to listen, and it's never done until the pick is on the clock and you put in the card with the name on it. So it's one of the mysteries at the top of the draft. And it's good because there is no mystery at number 1. The mystery and the draft begins at number 2 with what are the Browns going to do? Will they use the pick? Will they trade the pick? And to a certain extent, the Giants are in the same boat at 3 because both teams have multiple needs and they would benefit from a swap that would give them the opportunity to add a bunch of players. But there has to be enough on the table or you do a bad deal and you end up taking less than you should have taken.
What do you think the haul is back on that number 2 pick? And do you buy into the whole trade value chart thing?
I don't. First of all, it's outdated because once they change the way that rookies get paid, I think that adjusts the way that you look at it. And here's the bottom line. If someone's trading up to number 2, they're not trading up so they can brag to family and friends that they hold the number 2 pick in the draft. Mm-hmm. They're moving up there for a player. You're trading for a player. So what is that player worth? If the guys at 2 and 3, Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter, are head and shoulders above the rest of the guys in round 1, then that's reflected in what you give up to get him. So the old Jimmy Johnson trade chart developed years ago, look, it's an objective indicator for something that I think ultimately is inherently subjective. And it all comes down to, what do you think that player is worth? That's why a lot of times you'll see teams that really aren't interested in a quarterback, but that have a high pick, they'll do the full workup on all the quarterbacks so they can have an intelligent conversation and debate about what that pick is worth if there's a trade opportunity, because it's not for the pick, it's for the player. So what do the Browns think of Travis Hunter? How do they value Travis Hunter? If someone wants to come get Travis Hunter, the Browns have to be able to know with confidence and to argue persuasively, hey, this isn't any other number two pick. This is a guy who's going to play both ways if you embrace that. And so, you know, forget the trade value chart. We want more because you're getting a generational guy here, and so we want a bigger haul. And, of course, the more strongly they feel about it, the more likely they are to just keep the pick and take Travis Hunter.
Yeah, so basically, I just think it's funny because Jeff and I talked about this yesterday. It's like before the draft, it's all about, oh, it's number two, it's number two, it's number two. Then once you've added a name to it, it's totally changed. So I teams think that way. Like teams are like, hey, okay, what are we trading? We're trading Travis Hunter. We're trading Abdul Carter. They don't look at it as we're trading number two, or do they look at it as we're trading that name? Because I think fans have a hard time understanding that.
I think you look at it from the perspective of what benefits you. That's the problem. This is all a protracted game of chess. So the team that's trading up wants to give less. So they're going to say, well, we need to go by the trade value chart, because at some level they recognize this guy is more special than the ordinary number two pick, which is one of the reasons why they're trying to trade up to get him. So it all comes down to, and this is the broader ecosystem of the NFL, where yes, everyone is associated with a given team, but at the same time, it's one industry with minimal branches of the tree, and the relationships with others around the league, you could argue, are more important than your current team affiliation, because at some point you're going to be looking for another job, and you need to have friends and colleagues and people who trust you. So you can undermine that trust if the end result of a trade is one team gets screwed and the other team does too good of a deal. Every trade needs to ultimately be a win-win. So I think that from the Browns' perspective, it's in their best interest to say, you're coming up to get a player. From the team that's trading up, their perspective, they try to make it as cold and calculated and as objective as possible.
Mike Florio joining us from Pro Football Talk. Mike, I agree with you completely on that. Andy and I have talked about, okay, if you can't get Cam Ward, if you're the Browns, could you be happy with Travis Hunter? Could you be, you know, happy with Mason Graham, perhaps? Certainly Abdul Carter. If you're a team trying to trade up to number two, do you think there's one guy in particular that teams would want to trade up to get? Or is it, because to me, if there's not, then that kind of limits your trade market, doesn't it? Because if the Browns would be happy with any of a number of guys at two, I would think that that might not be a pick that is as coveted as maybe we think it might be.
Well, every team is different, though, and every team has its own evaluation, and every team comes to its own conclusion about which guy that it believes it wants. And the wild card in all of this is ownership. That's one of the things that's fascinating about the draft. You can spend months, and they do, evaluating players, looking at tape, investigating their background, traveling to pro day workouts, private workouts, go to the combine, talk to them there, go to the Senior Bowl, talk to them there. Hours and hours and hours of study and analysis and an effort to turn a human being into an objective answer to a very specific formula. Then in comes the owner who heard this about this guy or that about that guy and kind of likes this guy. And, you know, I went to dinner with that guy and I liked how he treated the person who brought us our food. And the owner always is the person who can turn everything on its head. That's why, you know, I was told recently, and I don't know if you guys saw this, that as it relates to Shedeur Sanders, somebody that I know and trust thinks there's a chance that a team is going to trade up to get him at number two, which is just odd. He's the biggest wild card in this draft. If he gets past three, he could plummet to 21. If he gets past 21 to the Steelers, he could fall all the way out of the round. The reason, one reason, potential reason, that an owner would get involved and move the needle toward a trade up to get Shedeur Sanders as high as number two, maybe that owner thinks, I'll be able to hire Deion to be my head coach at some point down the line. And that's a card that the owner is going to keep close to the vest. You don't walk into the meeting room with your head coach sitting there and say, I'd really like to move up to number two because I'd like to hire his dad. And his dad has said on our show that he'd only ever coach in the NFL if he was coaching his son. So we're getting a package deal here. That number two overall pick isn't just Shadur, it's Deion. If there's an owner that feels that way, that would explain why the owner would be inclined to move all the way up to number two. So the owner, that's the thing that can change everything. As you guys found out in 2014, when Jimmy Haslam got involved, and I know he tried to blame it on the homeless guy as he was walking in, and they said, take Manziel. The owner wanted Manziel. In Dallas that year, the owner wanted Manziel, and Jason Garrett, Stephen Jones, and others with the team did a very adept job of nudging Jones away from Manziel and towards Zach Martin, and that worked out pretty well.
If only that homeless guy had better judgment. Yeah, sorry about that.
All right, so let me straight out, if the Browns take the pick at two, who are they taking? Who do you think?
I think it'll probably be Travis Hunter. I think that's what the Giants believe at number three. When Joe Shane, the GM of the Giants, was asked about Hunter playing both ways last week, I could just tell by the way he responded, he hasn't given much thought to it. Why would you not give much thought to it? Because you think he's going to be gone by the time the third pick is on the clock. And Andrew Berry was one of the first ones who pegged Hunter as primarily a receiver. And some believe that he's a better receiver than he is a corner. And look, I love the idea of a guy who comes to the NFL with a desire to play old-school football, playing for an old-school franchise, outdoors in the elements, at least until they get their new stadium, on grass. I'm fascinated by this possibility that Travis Hunter can do what we haven't seen anyone do in the modern era of football, play a full load offense and defense. And I hope whoever drafts him is willing to let him try. He's got to come to the conclusion on his own he can't do it. If you try to tell him you're not going to let him do it, that's not the way to have the right relationship with the guy. He needs to come to the conclusion on his own. There's not enough hours in the day to properly be prepared to play NFL receiver and NFL cornerback. Maybe he can do it. Maybe he's the one out of 100 million who can pull it off. And if I'm using that pick at number two, I think that's the guy that has enough of an upside, not just from wins and losses, but this is an entertainment business. And some fans don't like to hear that it's a business, but it's a business. And it's about getting people to show up, to be excited, to watch the games, to have their team talked about. Jerry Jones has cracked this code. He's kept his team among the most prominent in all of football, despite not playing in a conference championship game in 30 years, because he understands what people are interested in. And if Travis Hunter is a good player, maybe a great player, but also a great way to make the Browns relevant, that all comes together, and it makes it, to me, a no-brainer pick.
Mike Florio joining us from Pro Football Talk. Mike, the Browns quarterback situation right now is Joe Flacco, Kenny Pickett, not necessarily in that order, maybe in that order, who knows. We're all assuming that they take a quarterback here and try to develop this guy and see if he is something. Do you think that will happen, and how soon will that happen? Do they trade back into the first round? Do they wait and take who's ever sitting there at 33? How do they handle that?
Well, a lot of it's going to depend on how many quarterbacks get taken in the first 21 picks. And does Shadur Sanders somehow slip by the Steelers at number 21? I remember in 2014, I was told Mark Davis, the Raiders owner, wanted Derek Carr with the fifth overall pick. And they talked him into waiting. And they got Khalil Mack there, which worked pretty well until they ultimately traded him to Chicago. But they got Derek Carr in round two. So sometimes patience pays off. And I think a lot of it depends upon how many quarterbacks get picked before we get into the 20s. And there's a window there for the Browns to swoop back in before the Giants or someone else that needs a quarterback can bump up a few spots. And the benefit of getting a quarterback in round one, you get him on a 5-year contract, not a 4-year contract. So you get extra time before you're in that spot where you've got to write him a big check to extend his stay if it's working out. So I think it's possible. And also it's possible that they don't add somebody who would be immediately in that mix to start, and they give the Falcons a call, reunite Kevin Stefanski, who was on the Minnesota staff for a couple of years while Kirk Cousins was a Viking, and see if they can work out some sort of a deal to get him to come to Cleveland. Now, he'd have to waive his no-trade clause. He'd have to have some sort of understanding that he'd be number one on the depth chart with Flacco and Pickett competing to be the backup, but that's a possibility as well. And there aren't many spots out there that I see for Cousins. A lot of it is going to be more clear after the draft, but if the Browns don't take a quarterback at all, I think they become a team that you have to consider as a potential destination for Kirk Cousins.
You have guys sitting there, Jackson Dart, Tyler Shuck, Milroe with Tommy Rees as the offensive coordinator here. If the Browns are looking at any of these other quarterbacks, do you think it's one of those three guys, or do they wait even longer and go Dylan Gabriel, maybe Will Howard, something like that?
Yeah, look, this is the problem with the draft. You have every position all thrown into the same bucket. What do you do? What do you value? And teams will say, we want the best available player. How are needs not part of the analysis of the best available player? We try to take an inherently subjective reality. What kind of a football player is this guy going to be at the next level, and turn it into the result of a mathematical equation? I don't think that's possible, and I think need is always going to influence. And that's why they have Paul DePodesta, chief strategy officer. What's our strategy here? Are we going to try to make a play for a quarterback early round two? Are we better off waiting and getting a guy that we see how he develops and maybe he becomes our long-term answer? The best place, the most reliable place to get a potential franchise quarterback is in round one. But there's a bust rate to take into account. Can the guy step up and play at a high level at the next level? Are you better off with someone who can develop quietly without a lot of fanfare, who can become in time the starting quarterback? There's just a lot of factors that go into it. And against that group of factors regarding what you do at quarterback is all the other positions on a team where you need to have viable, high-performing players. So it is a massive undertaking for 32 teams. I laugh at how people in the media try to make their own draft board. You can't even begin to harness the resources necessary to have a reliable draft board or understand the pressure that is inherent to making these decisions and splitting hairs that are not easily split, because they're all different shapes and sizes and everything you can imagine in one bucket of players that you're picking guys out of. It gives me anxiety just to think about the stakes as it relates to a given team in any given draft trying to figure out what's the right move every time they're on the clock.
Mike, in 3 years, when we come back and look at this class, maybe even a little bit more, are we going to say this was a bad quarterback class, the way everyone has going into it?
Well, I trust Chris Sims a lot because I think he's become a very good and underrated quarterback evaluator. Mm-hmm. He sees Cam Ward as a guy who would be number three last year behind Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels. And then I think after that, none of the guys would have cracked the top six. See, here's the problem. And this is where owners can screw things up, because it's a copycat league, and everybody else got their quarterback last year. I want my quarterback this year. Right, but last year, I mean, there may be, by the time this is all said and done, they may go 6-for-6 with quarterbacks who pan out. J.J. McCarthy is the last one to declare one way or the other. So far, it looks like the five who played last year, they're all going to be pretty good. This year could be the correction. Look at 2022. There was one guy taken in round one, Kenny Pickett, and he shouldn't have been. Malik Willis is the guy that, hey, you know what? Pretty good backup now in Green Bay. He can come in and win football games for you. Matt Corral, he's in the UFL. And the last guy drafted that year, the last guy of all players drafted, was Brock Purdy. It just illustrates that no matter how much time and effort you put into it, it's a crapshoot. Somebody told me years ago there's a ceiling for every player between what he achieved at the college level and the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And no one knows where that ceiling is. And the only way to find out where it is to throw that guy onto an NFL field against NFL caliber competition and see whether he steps up or whether he steps off.
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, also the author of Father of Mine, Son of Mine, On Our Way Home. Opportunity right now, Mike, to get those books at a great price.
99-cent ebooks on Amazon, and I might. Today is the 2-year anniversary of the release of Father of Mine. I am thinking about, for the first 2 days of the draft, making the ebook free. I mean, you only save 99 cents, but people love free stuff. No matter what the regular price is, you make it free, and they are there for it. So I might do that if I remember to do it for Thursday and Friday. I just, look, I really, knock on wood, football's been good to me. I love writing fiction. It balances out the fact that the stuff that I write for PFT today, by tomorrow, nobody cares. It could be the most eloquent thing I've ever written today. By tomorrow, nobody cares. If they even care today, by tomorrow, they don't care. So this is something that's got a little more staying power. You know, the story from Father of Mine, yeah, the story, the book came out 2 years ago. The book's still, it's still the same. It hasn't changed. It hasn't evolved. It's still the same. Same story, good story. People will enjoy it. And once the draft has come and gone, it's a perfect time to find a diversion. And that's what it all is. Football's a diversion. Us talking right now is a diversion. All the coverage of football is a diversion from all the stuff that people are dealing with, and people are dealing with a lot of stuff. And I've learned as an adult, I hated reading books as a kid because they made you do it. You know, anything they make you do, we're naturally going to not like as an adult. It's a nice little break. Knowing you've got a book that's a good book, you're enjoying it. Hey, I got about, you know, I got an hour tonight where I can go sit down with my book. It's a nice break from all the crap. And we all have, whatever form, whatever shape it is, money, health, family issues, whatever, job, whatever. We all have crap that we want to get away from at the end of the day. For me, getting away from the crap is writing. Hopefully for some folks out there, getting away from their own crap will be the reading.
99 cents, Father of Mine, Son of Mine, On Our Way Home. Mike Florio, always appreciate your time and your insight. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, guys. See you.
1 o'clock, something like that. So stick with us. Lots of good stuff coming up from Berea the day before the draft. Brown sitting at number 2. I'm Jeff Phelps. My partner is Andy Baskin. We're going to get into what Mike Florio had to say about a couple of things, including what the Browns should do it to, what he thinks they'll do it to. But the Guardians trying for a sweep of those pesky New York Yankees. And with that in mind, Dan Menigan, take it away.
It's time to check on Cleveland starting now. Powered by Bet365 Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the Cleveland Guardians.
All right, gentlemen, your starting lineup today for the 1 o'clock start against the dreaded New York Yankees, those damn Yankees. In left field, Stephen Kwan, he'll be hitting leadoff today. Hitting second, Gabriel Arias will be at second base.
Now, wait a minute. They've won 5 straight with either Lane Thomas or Nolan Jones hitting second.
Well.
Okay, just saying.
Maybe that we'll find out if that's the magic touch or if it's not.
Or if you're just going lefty-righty.
Yep.
Which I'm sure you are.
Whatever works.
Yep.
The designated hitter, Jose Ramirez, will be hitting third. Fourth today, the first baseman, Carlos Santana. At third base, making his major league debut, Will Wilson.
Come on, Will. Will absolutely on fire down in AAA, getting called up. Former first-round pick. Not by the Guardians, by the Angels.
Hitting sixth today, Angel Martinez will be patrolling center field. Next to him in right field will be Jean-Kenzie Noel, who will hit seventh today. Behind the dish, in the squat, thrown down the signs, Austin Hedges. And hitting ninth today, the shortstop, Brian Rocchio, with Luis Ortiz on the bump, seeing if he can replicate his good start thus far. And gentlemen, that is your starting lineup.
That's Cleveland starting now, powered by Bet365 Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the Cleveland Guardians.
Ortiz, 10 strikeouts last time out.
That
was starting to look good.
Wilson was hitting .324 with 22 hits, 6 home runs.
No, he's on fire.
Wow.
Fire. So we'll see what he's able to do.
Get this guy going.
Florio said Travis Hunter at 2. Doesn't surprise you at all. If the Browns stay put, take Travis Hunter.
None.
But boy, it sounds like he's a really big fan of trading down, getting multiple picks, getting young guys who can come in, be under a team-friendly contract as rookies,
right,
and supplement the overall talent level of this team. Andy, because there's nobody that I think you absolutely must have at 2, and if you traded down a couple of spots to make that happen, man, and pick up some extra picks, you know, let's say you trade with the Raiders and you drop down to, 6? Don't you think you could end up with a guy there that you could really still like? Mason Graham, perhaps. Ashton Jeanty, perhaps. Mm-hmm. Unless the Raiders are trading up to get Jeanty and want to make sure, or something like that. And if it's not, you know, if they trade up for whoever, it kicks everybody else down. You could still end up with Abdul Carter, maybe. I don't know. If you could
Mason Graham, Tyler Warren, Jalon Walker. I mean, there are
Abdul
guys.
Abdul Carter, perhaps. Travis Hunter. There's been talk that Hunter would slide to Jacksonville. There are a lot of things there that could happen. So, man, I do think tomorrow's going to be fascinating. We're going to head to Berea. Coming up here in the noon hour, Browns players talking, Kevin Stefanski talking, second day of OTAs. It's Baskin and Phelps here on The Fan.